Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast of the Preacher and the Miracle Man Show for Tuesday, March 20th. That's right, Tuesday, March 20th, the first day of spring. The first day of spring. So, it's springtime, so that means winter is over. If you want it, winter is over now. If only it could warm up and not fall back down the slope. Tell the fall. Let's hope it's a good summer without any big cold fronts. Okay. Well, we have officially survived a winter based on, according to astronomically speaking. Meteorology, the study of meteorology, would have said that winter, that March 1st was actually the first day of spring, based on a meteorological standpoint. So, generally, on which, whether you believe the school of meteorology or the school of astronomy, winter's over. Unless you believe in the school of living in Michigan or another climate state like Minnesota, Northern Ohio, Wisconsin, Northern Illinois, Dakotas, Washington, mountains. In that case, then it's still kind of like winter until it decides to let up. And I hope it does so soon. And so, has been a chilly March, with the exception of a couple warmer days here and there. And looks like later on this week, we're going to start to get a little bit of a grip. And it'll start moderating for us a little bit. Upper 40s coming this weekend, and then some low 50s for early to mid slash late next week. So, folks, spring is just about here slash coming. So, hats off to all of you. We've made it through a winter, and now things are starting to look up. We've already changed our clocks ahead an hour, so rather than whine about how cold it was, how about we look forward to spring summer, maybe not quite yet, maybe thinking about that in like a month, month and a half, but at least spring. I wouldn't get out my swimsuit yet. I'd keep that away until at least in the northern states, late May, like Memorial Weekend or so. In the southern states, like Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, South Alabama, depends on your beaches or when you decide to put up your pool. Okay. Whatever. Speaking of spring, today, Dairy Queen is doing something really cool. I went to Dairy Queen myself earlier today. Me and one of my helpers were in the car. We had some stuff with the others, so we go to Dairy Queen. And so we go there. And sure enough, it's free ice cream day. So you get a free cone, vanilla soft serve, and then the workers don't tell you necessarily, but you're absolutely encouraged to donate some change or some dollars for Children's Miracle Network. Now, I forgot my change, but I meant to put some in the jar thing. Children's Miracle Network is an organization, and it has affiliate hospitals. And what it does is it helps to provide children who are very sick, who have very severe medical needs. Like what was going on with me when I was real little. And other things. Children's Miracle Network is a absolutely fantastic cause. So find out when your DQ Dairy Queen closes and go there. And I'd suggest putting what you would have spent on the cone, $1.30, $1.40, something like that, and putting it to the jar for Children's Miracle Network, as they are an awesome group. A local radio station up here in the Midland Bay City, Saginaw area, does a pure Children's Miracle Network radio song every year. They already had theirs about a month ago. And this is for Hurley Medical Center in Flint, which has a good children's unit. And there are various Children's Miracle Network hospitals. So, hey, you can look forward to spring, and at the same time, help these kids to are ill and have terminal illness and being I talked about this leads me straight to prayer. Lord God, I thank you right now for these kids, for children that are in hospital beds. Whoever they are, doesn't matter what hospital it is, Lord, whether it be here in Midland or across America or across the world, I thank you, Lord God, that somehow that these kids, these families, would find you. And that these kids would be healed and set free from whatever these illnesses are that are binding them, whether it be cancer of some sort, whether it be leukemia, whether it be something else, maybe a defective heart, whether it be even a baby that's premature and might be having some problems with that. I just thank you, Lord God, that you're healing these kids, these little ones, who are very precious. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are the healer of these kids. And you be with these children, whoever they are, wherever they are. Speaking of children, and helping children. Here at McDonald's, they have the little canister, banister things where you can put in change for Ronald McDonald House. Ronald McDonald House Charities. What the Ronald McDonald House is a place where families of children who are sick, can stay in the Ronald McDonald House while the child is being cared for in the hospital. Now, in my case, yes, that was true, but when I was going to Chattanooga, Tennessee, Ronald McDonald House provided me with, provided us with a place where we could stay, even with me present at the house, the Ronald McDonald House, that is, as the doctor wanted to see me about every week for about 6 weeks after a surgery, so, and it worked out better if there were to be complications, which sometimes it went smoother than other times, but, I mean, sometimes it kind of went smooth, other times there were complications, but, the Ronald McDonald House was there for us, for our family. And Ronald McDonald House in general is loving, caring people, great volunteers. I actually got to know a very awesome volunteer who went out of her way for us, for me and my mom, and Ray, he came whenever he came with us. And this lady loved us. Her name was Barbara Bell. Beautiful lady. Lived a few miles away from the Ronald McDonald House there in Chattanooga. And sometimes she would pick us up and take us to do stuff. Sometimes we'd go to her house and watch movies or something. She was just an awesome, you know, southern lady. No, not all the Ronald McDonald Ronald McDonald houses are southern. In fact, there's four of them right here in Michigan. One in Detroit, one in Ann Arbor, Lansing, Grand Rapids. So, four of them in this state. Just happened to be that the Ronald McDonald House that I stayed at and went to was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I did, in fact, visit that house one time about 7 years ago. The last time I had stayed in there was in 1998. But they doubled the size of that house. And the director was still there, and she remembered me. And was amazed to see me and how far I'd come along. And so it was great. Thank God that these organizations, like the Ronald McDonald House, Children's Miracle Network, exist to help children and their families. And so, as I said, I'm here at McDonald's drinking the best soft drink on the planet, which is Coca-Cola. Classic. Excuse me, I meant to say any kind of regular Coke that's not diet. That could be regular Coke, cherry Coke, vanilla Coke, or where it's available, there's two new additional flavors of regular Coca-Colas. One is Georgia Peach, and another is California Raspberry. I've been trying to find the two new flavors of Coke, and I can't find them. So one of you listeners can send me a tweet on Twitter. Tweet me. Or call the show right now and help a man out. Help a miracle man out. Because I want to know where to find these two new Coke flavors. The Coca-Cola cherry, the Coca-Cola Georgia Peach, as well as Coca-Cola California Raspberry. So, I wonder if they just launched in like the South or New York area or California or all of the above, but not Michigan. I get it, especially if it's like the South or New York, like I said, as, you know, Atlanta's headquartered to of Coca-Cola. So maybe it's available in like Chattanooga or something, but hopefully soon it'll be available up here so that I can just go to the grocery store or whatever and get it rather than have to get it shipped. But so here is the plan for tonight. And the plan goes like this. I talked about, you know, how spring was starting, about the free ice cream, and then how about the excuse me, I'm not going to worry about that clock right now. I mean, I will later. I am on a time limit, but not going to worry about that because I still have a good amount of time to go. Nonetheless, folks, I did talk about the ice cream DQ and about Oaken Help Children's Miracle Network. And then I talked about Ronald McDonald House, how they're another awesome organization who helps children in need. And you know, pray over the children. So here's what else is planned. I got into Luke 22 yesterday, but I quit partway through after a certain passage that I will find. I believe I made it to like the 40th verse or so. So we're going to read that. And then Luke 23. And then Hebrews 11. And then the first two verses of Hebrews 12. Tomorrow, in related news, tomorrow is the show that we're going to do that'll be right before Palm Sunday. As this coming Sunday is Palm Sunday, which is where Jesus and his disciples and the palms and the trees and the celebration of Jesus. So we're going to talk about, read a chapter on that tomorrow. Now, back to tonight. I'm going to read and then you know, see where the Lord leads based on what we read on Jesus. And this wonderful Easter time. So we're going to read, you know, this Easter time, faith, and then got a miracle story from R.W. Shambach. He died, but I was looking through my Facebook this morning, and a couple of years ago, my dad had sent me a video, and I had forgotten all about it. And so I watched it, but I'm going to describe briefly what happened. It's real awesome. Should make anyone who's believing God for a miracle be very excited. So I'm going to tell you. So it's going to be, we're going to read on the Easter stuff, faith. I'm going to do the exhortation. We're going to tell that miracle story. And then we're going to get into some sports, as I have a Tigers score and I have a Pistons score from last night, and a little bit more analysis on that crazy circus we had this past weekend with the round of 64 and round of 32 of NCAA basketball. And so, before I do that, just a how-to and how to listen to the show. I always do this how-to for, as we're always believing, for new people to come on and join us. So, friends, here's what you tell new people who are looking to call into this program and looking to talk to us. Here's what you tell new people who are looking to get hooked onto this program and how they can stream live and get involved. You go to blogtalkradio.com. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, all one word. And then after that, you type in that search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. Then you'll see a link. This link will say Live in Large. Once you click on that link, you'll be on with us. We've done over 100 episodes together, me and Preacher Man. And so, once you click on that, you can stream live. And we have a follow button that you can click. And here, there's something that is very amazing that happens when you hit that button, the follow button. When you hit the follow button, you'll start getting notifications when we're getting ready to do our shows. Like tomorrow night at 6:30, we're going to do another show. You'll get notified about 6 or quarter after. Preacher and Miracle Man go live. So get your popcorn ready. Get your kids on the couch. Seated next to you. Whatever you do. And listen to the show. So you can listen to the show on your iPhone, your Android, your Windows phone, or any other kind of smartphone you may have. It also works on tablets or on your computer. We always say it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smart device. Oh, and we don't take that for granted. We mean it. We mean it. It really is a smart idea. And this is a great way to get the word into you. And we believe, we try to change the world through faith and radio. And we try to use faith and the Word of God, as well as some fun as we talk about sports, sometimes some food stuff. Sometimes I might make up a parody. I'm trying to say, I'm going to work on one for Waffle House one of these times. I'm going to work on it, and then I'll bring it, and I'll sing it when it's ready. And so, we try to have fun mixed in, too. So, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and listen to us right there, wherever you are. Also, we have a telephone number where you can call us at to talk to us about generally anything you want to talk about. And the telephone number you can call us at is area code 215-383-3810. Again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. Then you press 1. Then you'll go through the call screener. Then we'll let you on the air to talk to us. And we have 2 simple rules. Now, these rules are to help us have a quality show. So, I'm going to give the very brief version of both of these because we're nearing the 7 o'clock hour. And so, rule number 1. This show is not a political talk show. There are other good political talk shows that you can call in and talk to the host, like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Laura Ingraham, and others. If it's politics that you really want to talk about, we're going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you. Just as the Bible says. The Bible says to pray for those who have authority over us. We're also going to tell you to vote. As here in America, we have a voice. We have a voice. So how about you use your voice by voting when we have elections? And so I'd encourage you to do that. We'll greatly encourage you to do that. But so we don't talk about politics on the show. And rule number 2, this is a family show, so we ask that you keep any comments, any words you say, anything you want to talk about, we ask that you keep it appropriate for all ages, as it is a family show. We also follow the rule of Ephesians 5. There's a verse in Ephesians 5 that tells us not to let any filthy communication come from our lips. It also tells us not to do crude joking. So we try to keep this program very clean, so we ask you to help us with that as well. So what we try to say is, if you wouldn't say it to Jesus, don't come say it on this program. So if you can help us with these rules, then we can have some phone calls and we can have an amazing show tonight. So with that, I am going to get right into a word of prayer before we open up the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this show tonight. I thank you for the listeners of the show. I thank you that you are with these listeners. You're speaking to the listeners. You're enlightening them. You are enlightening these listeners. You are. Guarding, I mean, helping the listeners. Thank you, Lord. These listeners have minds to receive and ears to hear what I have to say tonight. Thank you that you anoint my lips tonight in what I say. Let it be through you. And Lord God, I thank you for the show right now. I thank you that money is coming in. Sponsors are coming in. Increased audience is pouring in to the show so that we can have better equipment to make the show an even better program. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to Luke. Let's open our Bibles and let's go to Luke 22. You can call in. Luke 22. And while I am doing that, turning in my Bible, let me just remind you folks that this show is not just a
hello
show. Hey, Mama. I mean,
hey.
Me, I mean, hello, hello, ma'am. Hello, ma'am. Who's this?
My name is Jewali Shukla, and I'm just calling into this show to say that I think that what you have planned for tonight's show is extremely exciting. I just wondered if we could leave the Coke out, because I don't care for Coca-Cola, and so I thought maybe we could leave the Coca-Cola out. But
then whose army do you belong to? Dr. Pepper? Pepsi?
No, I wondered if we could put a new ad in for coffee. Maybe like Starbucks. Yes, yes. I'm going to see if Starbucks wants to sponsor the show. And I wondered if at the end of the show tonight, if you would sing on the old rugged cross. If
you know,
if you feel it, would you just sing about the old rugged cross tonight?
Well, yes, dear. I think we can do that, dear.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Marusa, Miracle Man.
Thank you so much for that, madam.
You're welcome, sir. Okay,
bye-bye. All right. Yes, that was a wonderful listener who has been listening quite a lot since we started this program and has called in a couple times. And so I was just in the middle of saying the following. I was just in the middle of saying, you know, this program is not just a program with a man who sits here, reads the Bible, you know, talks about Coke and how much better it is than Dr. Pepper, and then talks about sports and reads the Bible. Yes, I read the Bible. Yes, I just prayed. And so one of the ideas of this show is that we want you, the listener, to be a participator. What this means when we talk about our listeners being participators, what we mean by this is don't just sit there, watch me read the Bible, watch me pray, watch me sing, as I'm going to do tonight, as a listener kindly asked a song request. So I think I can make it, so we're going to do it. If you know the words to the song we're going to sing later, sing it. And we basically say, whatever I do here at McDonald's, you do where you are, whether it's singing, reading, praying. Maybe just have our hands up in the air, worshiping God. Whatever we do here, you do there. With us, with that, I read the prayer on the Mount of Olives. So I'm at verse 47 of Luke 22. So Luke 22, 47. Praise God, Luke 22:47. As I'm just giving you a quick second to find the verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His name. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up. And the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" For one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you never laid a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. Then, seizing him, they led him away, and they took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, but when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there, firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him," but he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I do not know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Verse 63. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blooded him, demanded to prophesy. They demanded, prophesy, who hit you? Said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. If you are the Christ, they said, tell us. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. They all asked, are you then the Son of God? He replied, you are right in saying I am the Son of God. Then they said, why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips. Now we're going to be traveling through what I had been starting to read yesterday, but then God told me that he wanted me to backtrack a bit and read 22. So, folks, now we're going to read chapter 3 together. Then the whole assembly arose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar, and he claims to be Christ, a king. But Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. Then Pilate to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no basis for a charge against this man. But they insisted. He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here. On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. With many questions, but Jesus gave him no answers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, viciously accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers of the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was in sending people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence, and I have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him, and then I will release him." With one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Waiting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" I'm going to skip 22 to 25 because I read those yesterday. And I'm going to go right to 26. So we are in Luke 23, 26. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if none from these things, when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, for God the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up, and they mocked him, and they offered him wine and vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews," in caps lock. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. Verse 40. "Don't you fear God," he said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. To Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Verse 44, it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, and the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and they went away. But all these who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the Sanhedrin, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock. No one had been laid there before. It was preparation day, for the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Let's see. All right. Tonight, I am going to forego the reading of Hebrews 11. I will do it tomorrow, but here's what's on my heart. Jesus on that cross, he said, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He said that to praying for those criminals and the people who were crucifying him. And so he's on that cross when he says that. And then they give him the wine. He refuses to drink it. And he says, "It is finished." We're going to look at the other accounts of this over the next four shows. Tonight, yesterday we looked at Luke. Tomorrow we're going to look at Mark. And then the next time we'll look at Matthew. We're also going to take a look at John, to see what all the different accounts were. Because there's things about the account that are in Luke that aren't in John. There's things about it in John that aren't in Mark. There's things about it in Mark that aren't in Luke or John. And there's things about it in Matthew that aren't in Mark, Luke, and John. And so we're going to look at all the different accounts as to what happened. And so there was that period of darkness. That's why on Black Friday, at least I believe this is still what happens, on Good Friday at about noon, banks and some certain places like that close for 3 hours, from about noon to 3 p.m. As in Israel, the day started at 6 a.m. So sixth hour would be noon. And then ninth hour would be 3 o'clock. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he did it for us. For you and me. He bought stuff on the cross for you and me. With each whip, each beating, when the blood came out, when they were at the skull, when they were at the whipping post, when they were at the other places, each time. Every time, every single time that something came out, that blood was shed, and with every beating, he bought something for you and me, a healing, a deliverance, a miracle, a new life. And Jesus made it so that we don't have to kill those animals. We don't have to give those burnt offerings to God, the sin offerings, the fellowship offerings, these other offerings, that were under the old covenant. Now God just wants us to serve him and live for him. And too many Christians won't do that. They won't go to church. They won't read their Bible. They won't pray. They won't do the things that God says to do. They won't give their tithe. They won't put anything in the offering ever. They'll use their tithe money to take their kids to see the Easter Bunny. Oh, I would love to keep meddling, but I will not. Instead, I will say, we don't have to kill an animal like we used to. Yeah, and the Bible does say all have sinned, but we just got to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. And this is just from my heart, the last two nights after I've read the story. It's just been from my heart. Tomorrow night, though, it's going to be structured on Palm Sunday, the Palms. Palm Sunday. And what happened on that day. Next week, we're going to get into the seven sayings of Jesus, the times that Jesus shed his blood, and then another one is going to be on I have been bought with a price. Praise God, I have been bought with a price. So have you. We all have been. We've been brought by Jesus. So those are the things we're going to talk about. And then for the show after Easter, on Easter Monday, the day after Easter, we're going to talk about the Ascension and Jesus ascending as he was brought back to life. So, with that, I want to tell you guys an amazing story. This story is just awesome. So, R.W. Schambach is having a meeting, a big, long crusade conference thing down in Birmingham, Alabama. Now, video was shared to me a couple of years ago, and R.W. Schambach died a few years ago, so I'm sure the conference was quite a while ago, but R.W. Schambach, they have this conference. And so this lady goes down with another lady and this baby. Excuse me, this 3-year-old, about to be 4-year-old toddler. This three-year-old kid has 26 diseases. He doesn't have feet. His legs are totally messed up. His arms are totally messed up. He's blind. He's deaf. He can't speak. His chin is like outside of his mouth. His belly seems messed up with that. I forget what it was, but they decide, you know, we're going to go see R.W. Schambach. God wants to help us. They were expecting something to happen. So they go for a week, and like the issue of blood, only in this case, the money they had taken with them, they used on, they spent it on hotels and restaurants, and then they were giving an offering. You know, sowing, using faith, you know, they were sowing in the offering, believing for that miracle. And there were certain cards that were used for certain miracles that were to be called out if stuff was to happen. Finally, one day, this lady goes to Brother Schambach, and there was another speaker with him, and she says, Brother Schambach, I got to go home. We have to go home tonight. We're down to our last $20, and I hope that you can do something for my son. And he says, You know what? I will. We'll see what happens. And so, the speaker starts preaching. But first there's an offering taken. And God tells the woman, sow the last $20 right now. Put it in this offering. Put it in this offering. So she goes up there, runs up there, puts it in the offering. And then, you know, she's believing God for this miracle. And so the preacher gets to preaching, and then all of a sudden, this man says, I see a child here. He's 3, about to turn 4, and he has 26 diseases. 26 diseases. And he says, I want the mother of this child to run down here right now. And there's 300 people in this auditorium in Birmingham. And so she runs down there with 3,000 people looking. And so he prays a prayer. Suddenly, things start happening. Feet form. Legs are straightened. Eyes can see. The ears can hear. And the kid says his first words ever. Mama, mama, mama. And that lady had faith. She did not give up. Yes, she only had $20 for gas and what had she used it and put it in the offering. Oh, and guess what? The miracle happened. The miracle happened. The miracle took place that she had been believing for in her son's body. If that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. And then people started getting out of healed and getting out of wheelchairs. Other healings took place that night. It was amazing. And R.W. Shambach told that story. And it was just awesome. And you just got to have faith in God. Believing, knowing that what he would do in his word. And she went way out there. She gave that last $20. She drove the 4.5-5 hours from Knoxville to Birmingham. And the lady, I mean, the child was made whole, completely healed of all of those certain diseases. And so there is a song that I'm going to sing. I'm at least going to sing the chorus. The chorus is what I know the best. So I'm going to sing it. Talks about the cross. Here we go. And I cling to the old rugged cross. And my trophies are in Diseases, and God made a way, so here we go. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He is great for each new day. He will make a way for thee. He will be your guide, draw you closer to his side. He will be great for each new day. He will make a way. Oh, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Gives us a mercy that he will make a way for me. He will be your guide, draw you closer to his side. He gives you strength for each new day. He will make a way for you. Praise God, he always makes a way for us, regardless of what we're going through. Regardless of what we're going through, a sick child, a test, whatever it is, God always makes a way. Lord God, we love you tonight. I love you. I give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you, Lord God, that for this powerful time that we've had tonight in your word. And that testimony of that R.W. Shambach and that baby who was healed from the 26 diseases. He received 26 miracles in one night. And I just thank you, Lord God, for the word that you died on the cross for us and for that powerful testimony tonight. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're with us. You're the answer at all times. And I give you glory, praise, and honor for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, we do have enough time left to do some sports. So with that, that's right, the Detroit Pistons defeated the Sacramento Kings last night in Sacramento by the score of 110-94. Blake Griffin led all scorers for the Pistons with 24 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. So he was just shy from a double-double. Just shy of a double-double. So they snap their three-game losing streak overall and the 11-game losing streak that they had on the road. And the Pistons play again in a couple days. Red Wings play tonight. I forget who they're playing, but they're mired in a season worst 10-game losing streak. And so they're not making the playoffs at all this year. They were looking okay up early, much earlier in the season, but things went wrong. Injuries got to them, and other things got to them, and so, you know, they really struggled this year. Hopefully next year can be a bit of a different story. Tigers yesterday fell to the Baltimore Orioles by a score of 4-2. Michael Fulmer had three good innings of shutout baseball, but the bullpen struggled and did things that they have done in the regular season for years, like giving up home runs, giving up bunches of hits, things that don't help you win games. So, opening day is a week from this Thursday, March 29th at Comerica Park. It has been announced that Jordan Zimmermann will be the opening day starter. Do I think he's the best pitcher on the team? I think Michael Fulmer is. I really do. I think it's Fulmer. Cabrera hit a home run a couple days for us, so that's good news. But that doesn't count towards the regular season total. That will all start next Thursday. Now, some more March Madness insights. I was really surprised that a 16 seed was actually able to beat a 1 seed and win by 21 points. I was very surprised that UMBC, a school that very few people had heard about or knew about outside of the Baltimore area, could actually beat a 1 seed, let alone win by 21 points. Oh, and people can always say, you know, oh, they got their own, oh, they took advantage of other people's breaks and what have you. Oh, they made their own breaks. They made their own breaks. They totally manhandled the opponent from start to finish and dominated. And that's how they won the ball game. Sometimes I might be at a football game like a Midland High game or something like that, or watching a Lions game or whatever, and somehow sometimes you might have these games where you score a touchdown, they score a touchdown, or they score a touchdown, then you score a touchdown, then you get a break, or the other team gets a break that goes their way. Other times, you'll have these high school games, like a lot of Midland games I've been to, where we made our own breaks. We did what we had to do to win the ball game, and they did not do the things they needed to do to be successful in the game. So the opponent gets manhandled, 35-7, 42-7, 49-14, for example. Michigan State needed to do a better job at making their shot than what they did. They had a terrible shooting percentage that was in the 20s. I'm sorry. You're not winning games in the tournament with that kind of shooting percentage. Michigan has to find a way to get a lead and keep it, not squander it, and not have to go for last-second shots all the time like they had to against Tennessee. I mean, against Houston. They got to play Texas A&M in a couple days. Texas A&M took out North Carolina in Charlotte by 21 points. Tomorrow, I'm going to look ahead to the Sweet 16. Going to pick some games. And then by the time I come back on Monday, the Final Four will be set. So I am going to predict tomorrow night who I think the Final Four teams will be. But the winner will have to win two games in order to get there. I mean, the teams who are left will all have to play two games before they can get there. So that means teams like Michigan, Kentucky, Duke, for example, Texas A&M, who's got to play Michigan, Syracuse, they have to play two games. Will there be more upset? Possible. The way this weekend went? Yeah. Will another one seed lose? I'll let you know tomorrow what I'm thinking. Folks, we've had a great night. It's been very powerful. I hope you learned some things tonight from our time in the Word, and hope you were encouraged by beautiful, amazing miracle story. And so, folks, until tomorrow evening, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all tomorrow evening.